Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary, Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I like watching scary movies, so I watch them, I tell you about them every Wednesday, and also twice a month on our Patreon if you're into bonus content.
Ooh, if you're like, baby, once a week, that ain't enough. I need 6 a month.
Then you're going to want to head to patreon.com/TSDW podcast. That's the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
But listeners, we are recording today's episode in person.
Oh my God.
The energy in the room is electric.
It's buzzing.
I almost didn't make it through my little intro because I got so freaking excited.
I know. I can't believe I can see your full bodies.
I've been missing seeing your full bodies as we do the recording. It's you really lose a lot when you only get neck
up.
You
only get the face. But also, there's something nice about the close-up face shot too,
sure,
you guys.
Sure.
I am so excited to be in Los Angeles. I was telling you guys earlier that it feels like home, and I'm sad that I have to leave again. I'm sad I have to leave your side.
We're sad too.
Very sad.
But let's just embrace
the
moment.
Now we're not sad.
Let's embrace the present moment.
That's right.
Exactly.
And speaking of doing things like embracing the present moment, is anyone making New Year's resolutions?
I think, yeah, this is our first episode of 2022. Currently, full disclosure, it is 2021 still.
Oh my God.
It's still 2021.
Yeah. Don't tell them. A little peek behind the curtain here.
What if something, you know, what if we get a Y2K moment on the 31st and they're going to be like, what? They didn't talk about that.
they forgot to mention the Y2K that happened.
We've all been through the big Y2K and they didn't say anything about it. I clearly grasp what that was supposed to be, the big Y2K. But I think, yeah, let's talk about our New Year's resolutions.
for this upcoming chapter. I can start us off. It's quite boring. I do feel like sometimes New Year's resolutions are boring. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'll have more than one. I have, you know, we can all have multiple goals for ourselves. But my biggest one, I think, is going to be to respect my physical body more.
Ooh, I love that.
Okay. I want to do better at tending to my physical body.
Ooh, I like that.
Because it's so easy not to, and I so often don't, and there are consequences.
Yes, there are.
And I've reached a point in my life where that's only going to be more and more true.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to take a little bit better care of this vessel that takes me through the world. So that's my New Year's resolution.
So that just means like drinking less. It means eating healthy.
We haven't nailed down the specifics.
Yeah, just leave it sort of open. It means like drinking more water, exercising more. Just like, I think for me, it just means paying better attention to when I feel good and bad, and trying to like do more of the things that make me feel good, do less the things that make me feel bad. Mainly, I don't pay any attention.
Some mindfulness. You should work some meditation into there.
That's a great idea.
Just all 10 minutes a day.
There's also like, I was telling Joel, like pretty much like once every 3 months, and I think a lot of body stuff for me, like being uncomfortable or like in pain in ways has started in the pandemic. Because I think of like stress and just, so there's a lot of things, like every 3 months I get like a really sharp pain in my side.
And you think you have appendicitis?
It's the other side. Okay. I've WebMD'd myself. I know what's wrong with me, but it goes away after like 2 days. And so then I'm like, okay, great. I don't worry about that anymore and never think about it again.
I've had a similar thing where it's just like, oh good, the pain is gone.
Yeah. And so I mean, my goal is to be like, hey, the pain, fix the pain.
What was that?
Yeah, like let's not have just like regular pain that you don't deal with, and let's not just like eat and drink and act like you're 22 when you are no longer. But no hard and fast rules, you know. I'm not putting restrictions on myself.
Last time we had a New Year's discussion, I feel like one of your resolutions was to put on lotion more regularly.
Really?
Oh my God, you're right. And I have not done it. I'm putting that in as well. Tend more to my physical body with lotion.
Lotion up that skin, baby.
I gotta be moisturized.
That's
more
really
moisturized
funny.
In 2022.
I need that too so badly. My God.
Sammy, what are your resolutions or all resolutions?
Well, one that I've been thinking of that I would like to do is to thrift shop more.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Something that I did in the pandemic that I got very used to doing is doing all of my shopping online shopping. And, you know, I'm not going to stop fully online shopping.
No restrictions on yourself. No restrictions on yourself. These are goals. These are goals.
But I live right by a crossroads, and there's a lot, the Left Bank, there's a lot of good thrift stores in LA.
Yeah.
And like buying things new is bad for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have a shopping problem, I would say. I love to buy things.
I love to buy things, but then I return like so many
of it.
And
a lot
that's
too.
Also so bad for the environment.
Because it's just like shipping back
and
forth.
For the environment,
it's so terrible.
Yeah, exactly. So if we can do some of that shopping in person, I can scratch my shopping addiction itch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are also a few places to buy secondhand online. I've started buying more things
on
Poshmark and Depop.
Yep.
And my sister is very obsessed with ThredUp. I have not found a ton of success on it personally, but ThredUp is great. The Real, I think, does some secondhand stuff too. So there's some, because I too love to shop online, but there are ways to even do that secondhand.
And also,
Etsy has great secondhand.
Etsy really is good. I have sent a bunch of clothes to ThredUp because they'll just send you a bag and fill it up. And especially now during the pandemic, Goodwill and stuff, a lot of them have stopped taking things.
Mm-hmm.
And they like take your things in, they put them online and you can see them, and then you get a small percentage when they're sold.
Yeah, or I think they donate if anything that isn't sold or
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's a great option.
And like similarly to to you, Emily, like part of it is, I think, also mindfulness and like being aware. Mm-hmm. And I just want to like bring a little moment in before I press like buy of like, do I need this item?
Yeah.
Is there a way I could get something similar mm-hmm. without having to do the shipping? Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just like need to slow down because I'm just like, oh, give me those fucking clothes right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I need those t-shirts. Those t-shirts right will now. Solve everything.
Yeah. It's so good when I get those t-shirts.
And sometimes, like, truly the second I press buy, I'm like, I don't fucking need, like,
yeah, you have, why'd regret. I do that? Buyer's remorse yeah, is the worst instantly. Feeling. I hate buyer's remorse. That's why I return everything. Because I think I'd rather just return it and not feel this feeling.
What about you, Henley?
Okay, so my New Year's resolution is to buy an electric keyboard.
That's okay. unexpected.
Okay, just to buy it and then you're done. And then it's checked off
the list. That's a pretty easy one.
You've got the whole year to purchase an item.
That's it. No, I've honestly been thinking about buying one for years and years and years, and I never do it because I'm always like, I don't have space and it's a waste. I shouldn't do it. But I think about it enough that I think it's time. And there's a place next to my bed where it'll fit. And it'll just be... I used to play the piano, and I'm very bad at it now, but I love playing it, and it'll be such a, like, especially if it's next to my bed, it'll be, I know that I will play the piano instead of looking at my phone. I yeah. know that I will. And so if it's just there, I'm going to use it. I know I'll use it. And so I just need to get it into my room, and then we're good to go. And I'm very excited. I'm going to do it.
Henley, I love this. Let me tell you what. To have like a thing, like an activity, mm-hmm. hobby, just something that is like purely yours, that again, you don't need to play the piano. You could live your life without ever having a piano by your bed. But just to be like, I'm going to do a little thing that's for me. And it's not my phone and it's not TV.
Yes.
And like, I just feel like... In the past, like in the pandemic, I've realized, oh, it's so good to just have a thing yeah. like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that was ever prioritized for me as an adult. It's like you get a job, you do your job, you like hang out with, it's just like the idea of like having little things that are yours mm-hmm. that serve no other purpose than to like please you.
And also that's something you can get better at.
Yeah.
You can like practice it and get better at it.
Like you're supposed to do that as a kid. Like, yeah, I took piano lessons. Then I was like, great, I'm not going to be a pianist. So bye.
Yeah. Who cares? Who cares? Yeah. No, I took piano like all throughout college. I really love playing the piano. It's always brought me a lot of joy.
Aww.
But then I just like haven't as an adult, and I was never like very good at it. I was always just like fine at it. But
it's not what it's about.
I love like learning new songs, and that's my favorite thing is like going on YouTube and watching people play piano and then learning how to play that song. I just fucking love doing that. So
wow,
I'm gonna do it again.
So excited for you.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thanks. 2022. Man,
2022. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be good.
That's what we said in 2019 at this
it
time.
Is so to like, I oh man, to think every new year being like, and now it'll be better.
No.
Hey, you know what? Some beautiful things happened in 2020. Mm-hmm. Some beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, 2021.
No, where am I? 2019 was 3 years ago.
Okay, so right. Okay, so it's gonna be 2022.
Is that
so
right?
We're reflecting on 2021 because it's gonna be 2022. Some beautiful things happened in 2021. And that is what I was thinking about. Henley got married. Mm-hmm. Henley had a baby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's all pretty Henley related.
Okay. All right. Well, that's enough. You guys also fucking blew up, you know? You blew up.
Yeah.
Sammy, you worked on a fucking cool as hell docuseries.
That's very true.
That was extremely successful and I very much enjoyed.
Golden on Peacock. Check it out.
Golden on Peacock.
Emily, come on, get out of here. The amount of clothes that you've sewed by hand.
I made a lot of things in 2021.
You've made so many things and so many beautiful pieces of jewelry.
Thank you.
Ugh.
Current Crush Shop, check it out.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Instagram and Etsy.
Mm-hmm.
Not on Peacock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fuck yeah. And also, we did this podcast.
And we kept doing this freaking podcast for a whole other calendar year, which is very cool and crazy.
I feel very excited about the upcoming year for this podcast.
Me too.
Listeners, we've got some great guests coming up.
Oh, you're gonna lose it.
You're gonna lose your minds. And I can't fucking wait. But also, we just want to do a quick thank you to someone who sent us a holiday gift.
Oh my God.
Brianna sent us this the sweetest freaking care package with tees and crocheted beanies and pin cushions and witchcraft stuff for me.
She's very talented.
She made three adorable, perfect beanies for Silas, and so I haven't received fabulous. Such a thoughtful gift from anyone. I mean, it blew me out of my seat.
Yeah, she flew up in the air.
She just fell right off her seat. What if she just fell over?
I just fell off the seat.
Okay, her Instagram is b.e.vmade. So like Bev Made. Mm-hmm. And her Etsy is Bev Made Shop. And she just crochets all these cool beanies and hats. And she's got to make stickers. So she's great.
Cool.
She's great. Thank you so much. We're going to be really, really appreciated. It was so cool to get a little something sweet.
Mm-hmm. It was really delightful. But okay, let's get into our first recap of 2022.
Oh my God.
We today are talking about a movie that you guys chose. We had a Instagram poll and you decided on The Taking of Deborah Logan. It was incredibly close with 13 Ghosts. So we'll have to do 13 Ghosts in the near future. Stay tuned.
Two movies I don't even think I had heard of. So I can't wait to find out what the deal is.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Taking of Deborah Logan came out in 2014, directed by Adam Robitel, written by Adam Robitel and Gavin Heffernan, and starring Jill Larson, Anne Ramsey, and Michelle Ang. It is streaming on Shudder and Amazon Prime.
Okay.
This one's been requested a whole freaking bunch of times.
Wow.
So many times. And I've gotten DMs from people being like, you're going to be really scared of this one. Emily and Henley are not going to like this one.
Wowee.
But then I feel like I ran that past you, Sammy, and you are not so sure.
Well, I just I assumed that that would mean that there would be kid stuff in it. And I feel like there's not much. There's not much.
There's always a sprinkle of kid stuff. We can just rest assured, no matter what, there's a sprinkle.
There's never not any kid stuff. Do you know what I mean?
You know what? Now that I'm thinking, there might be more kid stuff than I anticipated
Sam, you got to set expectations properly. Is there kid stuff? Is there not kid stuff?
I think sounds like there definitely is kid stuff.
There's some conceptual kid stuff that doesn't happen on screen.
That's bad enough for me. I don't even like that.
Interesting. Yep. Okay. All I know is that the image that we used for the poster for the polls really makes me laugh.
I know.
It is very funny.
It's just, that's the titular Deborah Logan.
That's Deborah. You know what? I wonder how Deborah's doing. I think probably not well.
Not well. It has a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Holy hell.
And a 6 even on IMDb.
Ooh. Weird disparity there.
Yeah, that's a really high Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I had never seen it, and it was pretty scary. It's found footage, and I love a found footage. I think it ups the scary factor just inherently.
Oh, yeah.
The budget is not available, and the box office was $275,000, but I believe it mostly VOD? Went like straight to VOD. So I don't even know if that's box office. I don't know. Okay. Those numbers, you know, aren't that interesting, but I wrote them down nonetheless.
Yeah, right? Well, we needed to know. If there's any info out there, we needed to know.
And there wasn't a ton of trivia, but this was the directorial debut of Adam Robitel, and he went on to direct Paranormal Activity 5, the Ghost Dimension, maybe that's 6 even. I'm not sure, but one of the Paranormal Activities. And one of the Insidious sequels, Insidious: The Last Key. So he's good for him. He's doing well.
Good, he's doing great.
And he is also currently working on a series for Netflix with Darren Aronofsky called The Craving. And I thought that was such a good title for a horror thing.
Yeah, that is really good.
I hope it's about
spooky
vampires or something. Ooh, cannibals.
It sounds like vampires. Ooh, it could be cannibals.
Yeah, it could be like a raw
something to do
situation.
With eating.
Something to do with eating, I bet.
I bet. And then the last thing I wrote down, which I was just happy to learn, is that Deborah Logan, this actress, Jill Larson, is the same woman that's in Shutter Island that has the slit throat.
That it looked like her.
I know. Whenever I see screenshots of it, I'm always like, oh, is this the Deborah Logan movie or is it Shutter Island? You can't tell.
And it's because it's both.
It's because it's the same person.
Wait, wow. Who's the one that had the slit throat? That's not the one in the beginning.
She literally just goes, shh.
Yeah, no. Okay. Lady, I forgot that she had a slit throat. Ooh, she's scary.
She's scary.
Yeah, she's creepy. And she's a good actress. She's creepy and a good actress.
Good for her. She's got it all. She can do anything.
What can't she do?
What can't she do? But that's all the trivia I have. So let's watch the trailer.
Let's watch the trailer.
73 Apple, take one, Mark.
The story of Alzheimer's is never about one person. My PhD thief. I'm gonna start again.
You wanna keep the house? You need to sacrifice.
You talk to me about sacrifice?
Hey.
Ma! They want to make a movie about me.
Yes. We will live and document our subject's physical and mental degradation over the course of 2 1-month periods.
We're gonna have fun. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm not interested in being exploited.
Sarah mentioned that Deb's been sleepwalking pretty bad. So let's set up surveillance cams.
Mom? Deb?
He really gave us all quite a fright. With your late night gardening.
This is not normal sleepwalking. You should come see this. It's not good, Doc.
Do you remember a man named Henri Desjardins? Went missing 30 years ago.
I tried to wash you in the river, you know.
A lot you become.
That woman is crazy.
The notion of spiritual parasites does exist.
Okay. She's gonna die.
Oh my God.
I'd forgotten this, but Paul F. Tompkins DM'd us and asked us if the woman from that photo is the Kristen Wiig character from the Lawrence Welk's skit.
And I'm Doonies.
I like chasing cars.
That's very funny. Yeah, it's scary.
It looks awful.
I would rate this one as a double black diamond or at least a black diamond. It's scary. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, the whole concept is genius, though. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense to make a scary movie about Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and we did Relic, which is similarly...
Well, anything that allows you to like doubt the sanity of the person in question like allows it to go on for so much longer. Mm-hmm. So that's a great...
Spooky.
But it looks really yucky.
It looks like nasty,
nasty. Something with a spine and some fluid and
yeah, and just like the human bodies that they all fall apart and then die, and that's how it works.
That is how it works, and it is
terrifying.
Really bad. Yeah, it's bad.
It's happening to us as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, every second that we're alive,
we got to put on some lotion. Give me some lotion.
Cover me in lotion. Cover me in lotion.
Then I'll be fine. Just bathe me in moisturizer, and so I will be good.
Gross. So gross,
like a fucking mummy.
All right, should we talk about it?
Let's freaking do it.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family-friendly, low-carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready-to-eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary and use code too scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too-scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay. I want to set the scene that I made my signature cup of piping hot tea before watching this movie.
Oh, fabulous.
I love to watch a scary movie with some boiling
stakes.
Liquid in my lap.
Those jump scares add a whole new level of tension.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so we begin with a text card that tells us the following footage is footage from a medical student's thesis film. And that student is Mia, who we saw in the trailer. And I can't remember now what the line is in the trailer, but she is doing an American accent, but there are a few words that she says that are, she's Australian. And
that's great. Interesting.
That's great.
And things like that, I always wonder, like, why not just make her Australian? Like, it doesn't feel right. Like it'd be distracting to the plot. Who cares? She's a student. She could be studying anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. But her accent is mostly pretty good. And then just occasionally she'll be full Australian. But so it's her and her two camera guys are Gavin and Luis, and they show up to the house of their soon to be like the subject of this documentary, Deborah Logan. They're greeted by her daughter, Sarah. And Sarah is really welcoming to them, like, so glad you guys are here. There's like, you know, do I talk to the camera? Who do I talk to? Like, there's like setting up the found footage aspect of it. And she says, Sarah says to them, this, you're still doing the grant money thing, right? And it's, we learn that something about them making this document, like they're being paid in some way, like maybe it's covering their medical bills or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like Sarah's pumped about that.
Oh, I see. The family's like getting paid.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So that's why they're participating. And then she takes them to meet Deborah, who is in the yard gardening and with their neighbor. I think his name is Harris. And she's a sweet little old woman, very like polite and proper. And she's like, oh, I'm so dirty. Like, pardon me. Like, very old. Not old-timey. What is the word I'm looking for? Just old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
Yes.
Old-fashioned.
And she quickly, within a few minutes of talking to them, decides she doesn't want to do it anymore. She's like, I don't know. This is a little intrusive. I don't want to be, you know, part of this. I think we should just call this off. And Sarah is immediately very stressed by that and like, no, like we need to do this. Like we can't afford your medical bills. Mm. But they do. They leave to give him some space to talk it over. And before they leave, Mia says, like, you know, the same. My dad also had Alzheimer's. And you see Deborah kind of soften a bit at that. And then she turns and the cameraman's like, why'd you just lie to her about that?
Oh. So rude. Oh, that's not okay.
Oh.
Very, very rude.
Uh-oh. So we're already a little not trusting of this filmmaking team.
Oh, and so they go inside to talk and one of the cameramen films their conversation through the window. And a lot of it is subtitled, like, because they're not wearing mics. And so they're just like putting subtitles up and you see Sarah start to cry. She's clearly overwhelmed by the responsibility of this, by the you know, actual cost and the all of it. It's a very stressful situation. And Deb sees them filming through the window and like gets mad. There's a lot of shots in this of like Deborah slowly noticing the camera.
Oh, scary.
It's very scary. Because she doesn't react. She just turns and like stares and like looks mad.
Oh, no. I don't like that.
Then it jumps to 1 week later and we are back at the house. Sarah has done what she needed to do to convince Deborah that they got to do this. And Deborah seems in a better mood, in better spirits, and she's giving them all a tour of the house. It's a huge house. She's showing them their bedrooms and showing them her painting room or like art room. And they're going to be moving in, so they'll be filming all the time. They set up some cameras, like security type cameras that'll just be running 24/7. And there's a spooky shot when Luis is setting up one of the cameras where she just is behind him without him noticing. So she's just like watching what he does. And she's just creepy. Mm-hmm. She's a good actress, but she's creepy. So
she's creepy. She's also creepy.
She's doing both.
She shows them, she has all these like little figurines. I can't remember where the figurines came from, but they'll come back. So just know about them.
Okay.
And she looks pretty like healthy, normal right now.
She's pretty with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And then they set up for their first like sit down interview. Sarah and Deb are being interviewed together. And Sarah says, Deborah immediately is like downplaying her symptoms, like, you know, like sometimes I'll misplace my keys, like everybody does that. And Sarah's like, no, like one time you left the stove on and almost burned the whole house down, like you forgot to turn off the stove. And so yeah, Deb is playing her symptoms down, but Sarah's like, no, there's some pretty like clear things happening here. Mm-hmm. We also get some interviews with Deb's doctor, Dr. Nazir, who at this point says she has what is known as MCI, which is mild cognitive impairment. And it goes into a medical documentary style where it'll have like graphics come up on screen of like the brain and that kind of, it's like showing like where in the brain is she's being affected. And when it jumps to this style, it'll have Mia narrating. She's like talking to camera, like being like, and this is what's, they talk about Deb's childhood too. So she says, when Deborah was younger, her first husband died. And so she raised Sarah as a single mom. Mm-hmm. We learn that she started a business operating a switchboard for the town that she lived in. So she would just like connect calls, you know, those like,
yeah,
switchboard machines where you're like plugging in.
Yeah. That was a whole, career that just disappeared.
Right. Yeah, Deb, out of a job.
Is that where the demon came from? Through the switchboard? Switchboard demon?
Maybe. And Deb makes a comment like, I kept everybody's secrets. And Sarah's like, well, you didn't have to do that. You could have just taken them off of your list. And she's like, well, then I would have lost a client. Like, it's important for me to have everybody trust me. So that's their first interview. And then there's a moment at which Luis is getting some B-roll and he's just filming her, Deb, gardening, and she's not noticing. And as he kind of zooms in, we see that she is holding a snake in her hands, like a black snake. And just kind of casually playing with a little snake in the dirt. Great. And he gets freaked out. And Mia is like, hey, what are you doing? And I like asked you to film something over here. And he turns and turns back and Deb's like right there. She's like, were you filming me? Like, she's always just spotting those camera operators. Mm-hmm. Oof. We also learn that Sarah has a bit of a drinking problem. It's not super critical to the plot, but just kind of we can see, like, again, see she's taking all this really hard. And her coping mechanism is just, yeah, like, she drinks a lot. Mm. I don't know how much time passes, but they're staying there for a while. Probably a few weeks go by. And one night, Deborah attacks Gavin, one of the camera operators, saying he stole her spade and her like little shovel that she uses for gardening. And she just like goes at him. And I think she has a knife, but they're able to pull her off of him. And then she just has like a really, really upsetting meltdown. She is screaming like a infant and like thrashing on the floor. And it's just like really upsetting to see.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that one little bit.
No, it's not good.
And Sarah's just there by herself. So she's like moved back in with her mom to take care of her. She's not, she doesn't have like a partner or anything.
She does make mention of she has a girlfriend somewhere, but I can't really remember where. But it's she does make a mention that it has like been hard on her relationship as well.
Mm, okay. Yeah. Got it.
Then they go up. There's, of course, an attic in this house.
Mm. Got it. Mark your bingos.
And I think, again, Luis is just like filming around the house, getting more footage. And he goes up into the attic. And that's the old switchboard is up there.
Demon through the switchboard, baby. Yeah. No. Demon through the switchboard. She kept everyone's secrets, including the demons.
They go up into the attic because they're looking for the spade. That's right. So they're just searching everywhere for the spade. They eventually find it in the freezer. She had apparently put it in there. Mm-hmm. And she calms down a bit after this little meltdown and goes into her art room and is staring out this one window. Mm-mm. And they notice that she's just been standing there for, you know, too long. And Sarah goes to her to try to get her to get to bed or something. Like, mom, what are you doing? And it's just like slowly the camera like coming closer to her, like they're gonna like put their hand on her shoulder to turn her around. She turns around and she is ripping her skin off of her neck.
What?
She's just like pulling her skin off. I don't know.
And she's been successful.
Yeah. Like a big old chunk of skin comes off of her neck. And she's just doing it with her fingers.
I don't like that.
Ooh, that gives me the chills.
Oof, it's bad. And so they rush her to the hospital. And with Dr. Nazir lets us know that they did some more brain scans. And it seems like it's actually advancing really fast now. And they up her meds. So she gets pretty drugged up. And then they're able to take her home the next day and she's back to her proper self and she really apologizes to Gavin. She's like, I just can't believe my word, I would never treat anybody the way that I treated you. We get a little look at the neighbor Harris again, who is talking to Sarah. And again, this is a conversation that looks like they don't really or they don't know is being filmed. And Harris is saying like, okay, it's enough. Like, clearly the cameras are stressing her out. It's maybe time to end this, send them home. And Sarah's like, I can't afford the bills on my own. Like, we need them. Then someone is filming. Deborah is in her room, sitting on the foot of her bed, staring at herself in the mirror, talking to herself. You can't hear what she's saying, but she's just kind of like talking to herself. And then she, in the mirror, catches eyes with the cameraman. And again, just like she straightens and I think he just leaves. But there's just so many moments of her just like seeing that she's being filmed and it's very scary.
Ooh, I don't like it at all.
Then we see she does a lot of like walking around at night.
obviously.
That we're catching in all those security cameras, just seeing, you know what, there's a lot of nasty nightgowns.
Ooh, she's in a nightgown. She loves a nightgown.
Nasty.
Debbie Logan loves a nightgown.
One evening, she goes back into that room with the window that she was staring out of, and she's just staring out of it again, holding a hammer in her hand.
Oh, that's not good.
Take the hammer away from her.
Taking of Deborah Logan's hammer.
So stupid, the sequel. The prequel.
And Sarah comes in. They like hear that she's up, and so everybody wakes up, and Sarah's slowly approaching her, like, Mom, can we take that, like, can we get that hammer away from you? Like, can you put that down? And Deborah like goes up quickly and just starts like hammering in nails into the window. Like she's nailing it shut. And she's like, this is where I see him.
Oh, yikes.
And is hammering close the window.
That's not good. Who's him?
Yeah, we don't know. That's a great question.
Switchboard demon.
Then there's another night that she gets out and, or like they like hear something and go to look for her. She's gone. There's a lot of shots of her like slowly crawling out of bed and just walking out of the halls. So she leaves the house. They find that same window open now with a piece of her nightgown caught on one of the nails. So they're like, she's outside. And they go and find her at that same spot where she was playing with the little snake.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just furiously digging in the dirt with her bare hands.
That's really creepy. That's like a very, very creepy image.
It's very, very scary. And they grab her. They bring her back inside. And ooh, this part, it's so much of this movie is scary just from her looks. Like she just has such a scary
vibe.
A little like evil look. Not that she's evil, but like she looks so mad. And so Mia brings her into a bathroom to wash her hands because she has dirt all in her fingernails. And Mia is scrubbing her nails and talking to her, being like, oh, you gave us quite a scare. And like, we're going to get your nails back to normal here in just a second. And as she's sweetly, calmly talking to her, Deb is just staring at Mia. And it's like so close up in Deb's face of her just scowling.
Oh, she's so mad. She's so mad.
Then the next morning, they're going over some of the footage. And there's a shot of Deb standing in front of the stove. And then it jumps to her standing on the stove.
Oh, yeah. No, that was in the trailer. I did not like that.
And then jumps one more time to her, like, floating above the stove.
Nope.
And they say there's no break in the time code. They, like, play it over and over and over. And it's not like it's a continuous filming. Like, there's no break in the footage. And so they're like, that doesn't make sense. Like, there's clearly is a break. And there's like, no, there's not. And they can't figure it out.
That's when you get out of there.
Yeah.
Once you have video evidence of a demon, that's when you decide to leave.
Yeah, they're definitely getting a little creeped out. And they, the next day, show her the footage of her digging. And she's, you know, doesn't remember it, is horrified by it. She's like, who is that? Is that me? Like, why did you let me do that? What? Like,
that doesn't feel like a nice thing to
do. No, it really doesn't. It's like,
here's you being crazy.
Yeah, is this helpful?
Did you see this? Do you remember? You're losing it. What do you think?
Yeah, seems like not the right thing to do for someone in this situation. And she's getting more and more upset by it. And then she attacks them.
Yeah.
Lunges at them. And it cuts. And we go right back to the hospital. And this is the scene that they are doing the spinal tap, is I presume what it is, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
So
why does one do a spinal tap?
I don't know. It looks so bad.
It's extremely painful.
It shows it. It shows them like putting a little needle into her spine and her screaming in pain.
What?
And it connects to something where they're able to get spinal fluid out of it. And I assume they're running some sort of test on the spinal fluid, but God, it looks awful.
All I'm trying to look up why, and all I'm getting is the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it can diagnose. You use it to diagnose a bunch of stuff.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Is it like you can't have any anesthesia in that area?
Yeah, I don't understand why is it so painful.
I don't know.
I don't like it.
I don't like it.
It can be cancers of the brain or spinal cord. Meningitis.
Hemorrhaging in your brain. That's so crazy they could figure that out from your spine.
Disorders of the central nervous system.
No, you get a little, they do a local anesthetic.
Yikes.
But they notice as they're doing this that she has some sort of skin infection, and her skin is like scaly.
Ooh.
And it shows it on her back, and it's just like looks like a scaly rash all over her back.
No thanks.
Then they're able to take her home again after this procedure, and we see her playing piano.
That's me.
And again, that cameraman is filming her through the little gap in the doorway, and she plays for a bit and then turns and notices him and smiles.
Ooh, she's happy.
So she's a little different than before.
The Spinal Tap did something?
No, I don't know. But she's just like slowly kind of changing.
All right.
And then we get a little text that says it's day 41. Doesn't really matter.
Dang, that's a long ass time.
Doesn't totally matter. But just to let you know, significant time is passing. And they're just living there this whole time. But we hear screaming in the middle of the night. And all this commotion is happening. We run and like, what's going on? And go into one of the rooms where Deborah is eating the figurines that she had previously.
Oh, no.
And so Sarah's like pulling them like out of her mouth.
Gross.
And we see that this is like in her art room. And she has painted all these images of kind of a dark figure outside of that same window. Like it's drawing paintings of this room and that window and like someone on the other side getting closer. There's like a few images where he's like getting closer and closer.
Paimon.
Hail Paimon. And Gavin is in the room, I think, with her, and he's filming the window, and the window's open. No, excuse me. The window's closed, and then Deb is to his right, and he turns and faces Deb, and she kind of scares him, and he's like, "Oh, you frightened me." Turns back, and the window is open. Whatever the opposite of what it just was, the like changes like in an instant, and it really freaks him out. He's like, "What the fuck? Like that window? Like who opened that? Who closed that? That's not possible." That night again, we see Deb getting up in the middle of the night and like slowly taking her clothes off as she's walking down the halls. Like she's like stripping her nightgown off and kind of disappears into a room. And then we hear just really loud ringing, and it shows each of, you know, like Gavin and Luis and Mia and Sarah all waking up like, what the fuck? What is that? What's that noise? They're trying to figure out what it is. And Sarah comes in and is like, it's the switchboard, but that doesn't make sense. That's like hasn't been operating in decades. They go up to the attic, and Deborah is sitting at the switchboard naked, plugging one of the little cords into one of the switchboard holes. Sorry, I don't know any of that.
That sounds right. A switchboard hole.
Gordon put in a switchboard hole.
That's right.
And she's like jamming it in there over and over. And they're yelling, like, Sarah's yelling, Mom, stop. Like, what are you doing? And she is speaking in a voice that doesn't sound like hers. And they don't know what's happening. They're eventually able to take her to the hospital again, And it's this scene was also in the trailer where she's just breathing like, and it's so stressful because she does it for so long. Like she's just breathing so fast. And they're like, we need to slow down her breathing. We need to slow down her breathing. And she's just like, and they're like, mom, like calm down, calm down. And so they give her they inject her with something like some sort of sedative because she's just breathing way too fast. And back at the house, they're looking at the switchboard and the number of the switchboard hole that she kept trying to plug the plug into is 337. And so they're like, okay, 337. That's who she was like trying to talk to. And she has a little records book that, of course, goes from number 336 to 338. We're missing page 337, so we don't know who it is. They also, the doctor gives Sarah another injection, like a one to take with her, like in case you need it, in case she starts having another episode, this will calm her down. So you have a sedative on hand. And Gavin and Luis are looking at the footage from the, you know, incident at the switchboard, and they've slowed it down and done something to the audio where they can tell that her voice, she is speaking French, and they translate it. And it says, "The eternal spirit will free you, my child. Be my fifth. I will wash you in the river."
Okay. We got some religious imagery here.
And they decide, or they realize that they can do that thing where they put a piece of paper over like page 338, and they do like a charcoal rubbing of it so they can see the indentation of
337.
Nice. And they are able to see that whoever it was, someone named Desjardins, Jean Desjardins, I think. I didn't write the first name. Maybe Jean just sounds like the first name that would go with Desjardins.
Sounds right to me.
But so then they Google this person, and he was a murderer.
Okay.
Who disappeared after killing four young girls. Here's some kids, the conceptual children things.
Got it.
Okay.
And was doing some sort of ritual with them that would involve cannibalism. Ugh. And so he ate parts of them.
Ew.
And it also involved snakes.
Okay.
And they figure out that the ritual he was trying to do is something that requires five victims to reach immortality. And so he only killed four and then disappeared. And one of the things she says is, be my fifth, right?
Right, yeah.
So they're onto something here.
Yep.
We don't love the way this sounds.
Nope.
They, the next day, ask Deborah about Desjardins. And she's in the more like lucid state and kind of is like, I don't know. And then she just says like, oh, he's dead, and says it very matter of factly, but then doesn't really offer up any information. They're like, well, how do you know that? And she kind of just won't really respond to that. And then she goes upstairs, like excuses herself. And then they hear her like vomiting, like a loud retching noise, and they run upstairs, and she is throwing up dirt and worms.
Ew!
Oh, gross. It's so gross.
Live worms, and they're like coming out of her mouth. It's very gross.
Nuh-uh.
I don't like it.
I think they take her back to the hospital at that point.
This hospital is like, we don't want to see her anymore. We're done.
I don't know, man. She's weird.
Find a demonologist.
Mm-hmm. And Harris, the neighbor, is also at the hospital. And he's kind of freaking out as well. And they like see him in the room with her. And he looks like he's freaking out about something. And they can't hear what he's saying. And so I don't totally remember how they come up with a theory that Harris killed Desjardins, and
interesting,
think that he's like stressed that he's about to be found out or something.
Okay.
He does seem to be more invested than your typical neighbor.
Right.
And so they leave Deb at the hospital this night, and go back to the house. And in the middle of the night, they start hearing gunshots, and Harris is just shooting into the house, and he's like drunk. Sarah's like yelling out like, Harris, stop it. And he is just reloading and firing like a shotgun into the house. They're all like running and like hiding on the ground. It's so scary.
It's awful.
And eventually the cops come and they're able to get Harris to put the gun down. And it's like clearly very drunk. And I think they probably like take him into a drunk tank or something. The cop that comes is a woman named Sheriff Tweed. And she like settles them down and says, okay, we're going to take him in. It's going to be okay. And Gavin at this point starts like packing up his shit and he's like, I'm out of here. Like, I don't want to do this anymore, which is the correct reaction.
Yeah.
And Mia goes, you just start projects and then leave in the middle?
Yeah, if I get shot at, yes.
You're a quitter.
It's so crazy. Like, Mia.
Mia sucks.
Be realistic here.
This is like the guy from Hell House LLC.
Yeah.
And he's like, you guys are just going to leave now?
Excuse me.
Like, yes, that is absolutely what we're going to do. And so I think he does leave. And we go back to the hospital and find out that Deb is missing.
Uh-oh.
And they check security footage and we see that she has gone downstairs into the child's cancer ward. Here's some more children things.
Oh no.
And taken a young girl.
Okay.
And they've kind of disappeared into the kitchen area of the hospital. And so there's an extended sequence of I guess Luis and Mia and Sarah now looking through this empty kitchen for Deb, like opening doors. This is a pretty stressful scene. And eventually...
And is Deb looking like real crazy now?
She is getting progressively, yeah, looks creepier. Like her hair is all slicked back now. I think, I don't know why, but just like... But yeah.
She's trying something new.
But yeah, she definitely looks scarier.
She looks like the still from the... poster or whatever.
Yeah, she already looked that.
Does she look like that right. Crazy?
She's getting demonic. Way more like vacant behind the eyes. Mm-hmm. And
like gaunt, scraggly.
Yeah, looks like she's like sleepwalking and not getting sleep. Yeah, she looks bad.
She looks bad. Mm-hmm. Say bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they eventually find her and the little girl in, I don't know, like a walk-in freezer or something.
Oh, no.
And they're holding hands, just facing the wall. And they slowly approach and they're like, Deborah, like, we need to take you back to your bed. And all these moments, you like really expect her to like turn around and lunge at them. And she doesn't. But they're able to get the little girl. They pull her aside. The little girl also looks like way out of it. Mm. And this is the shot from the trailer that we also used in the polls where Deborah just like turns and is like,
oh, no.
It's a really creepy look. If the look were a sound, it would be. Then we cut to them strapping her to the hospital bed now, putting her in restraints, her screaming. She's screaming in French.
Huh.
And her teeth have dirt in them. Her teeth are like brown. Like she has like grit in between her teeth. Ugh. And they go to see a professor of anthropology for some reason.
Classic choice.
Not a demonologist.
If you get into anthropology, though, you know you're going to have to know a little bit about demons.
That's true. Absolutely.
And he says... He does kind of, he serves the purpose of a demonologist in this scene, where at first he kind of says, well, it's likely that she's having, you know, delusions. She believes she is Desjardins. But there have been rumors of spiritual parasites. Mm. And he tells a story of a woman that was possessed by the soul of her son, I think, and that the way that they ended it was by burning the son's body, and that like broke the connection. We're at day 60 now, and we see Harris going into the hospital, and Deb asks him to kill her.
Oh no.
And he
never good.
He tries to comply. He grabs a pillow and attempts to smother her. The whole room starts shaking and a TV flies off the shelf and hits Harris. And so now Harris is in the hospital, like being taken to surgery or something. He's all fucked up. But Sarah, I guess, was in there and runs to Harris. And
he didn't get arrested?
I don't know. I think you have to take care of medical stuff first. I feel like even if it was a crime that got you hurt, I think they do have to still treat you.
From him shooting at the house.
Oh, yeah. No, I guess
you should get arrested for that.
Maybe they didn't press charges.
I guess you can choose. Yeah. I mean, look, cops are bad. Justice system is bad. But still, it just feels like if you shoot a bunch of times into someone's house, there should be something that happens.
I think there should be a consequence.
Mm-hmm. Some sort of something. At least take his gun. Take everybody's guns.
Take everybody's guns.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they did.
But so Sarah runs up to Harris as he's being wheeled into an operating room or something and gets like a moment to talk to him. And she's asking about, like, do you know about Desjardins? Like, do you know what's going on? Who was this guy? And Harris tells Sarah that Sarah was going to be the fifth victim.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
And your mother killed him.
Yeah,
because she found out from the switchboard.
She knew all the secrets. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Loving this.
We're putting the pieces together.
And so she buried him in the backyard in that place that she's been playing with the snakes and shit.
Oh, God.
But killed him in a cave. So I guess that the spot where she killed him matters. We'll get there.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, just know she killed him in a cave, buried him in the backyard. So Sarah goes home with the camera crew. They all start digging in that spot and they find Deborah's spade. It's like they don't see a body, but they see the spade and they're like, fuck, she got here first. She already moved him. And they're like, they somehow go up into the attic and they know that it's in the attic, I guess, because that's where the switchboard is. She was like bringing it closer to the switchboard or something. But they go up in the attic, they find the body. It's like, ooh, one thing they're all like, they keep like gagging at how bad it smells, and I feel like that's like, ooh, so gross. You can't smell a movie. But when everyone is being like, oh, stinky.
Makes it gross.
Stinky.
Ew, pee, pee.
Even though by now it'd just be a bunch of bones. It's not like a fresh body.
No, but.
But it wouldn't. It takes a while for it to fully decompose. It would be part. I think it would only be partially decomposed, which would probably be really stinky.
That's really stinky.
It's definitely stinky. They're all.
What movie is it that they. Oh, it's old. Where they're like, how long would it take a body to decompose? Anyway, I feel like it's longer than however long it was.
Mm hmm. And so they take it into the living room where the fireplace is and decide
they're going to burn it in the fireplace.
Shove that thing in the fireplace.
Build a fucking bonfire. What are you doing?
No, keep it in the house.
But as they, it's the bones are in like kind of a sack. And
classic bones in a sack.
And as they set it down to start lighting the fire, they hear something in the sack that sounds a lot like a snake. And Mia goes to investigate. And there are like five snakes come out of this bag.
Ew.
And they're all screaming and it's very hectic. And they're like, okay, fuck it, just throw it in.
Burn the snakes.
Burn the snakes. Who gives a shit? Fuck it. And so they toss in the bag of bones and it won't burn. And the fire just kind of explodes with this like a big forceful explosion and goes out, and like they all like fly backwards, and it's like, okay, well that didn't work. And they get another call from the hospital and Deb is gone again. And we go back and we play that surveillance footage and we see her pulling her hands out of the restraints.
Ew.
And like all the skin of her hands coming off. It just like gloves.
No, I don't like it.
Oh, it's so gross. And she goes back down to the girl, Kara is the girl's name. She goes back to get Kara and they leave the hospital, and a security guard tries to stop them and Deb attacks and kills the security guard.
Okay. With her bony hands.
Ugh. Her little meat hands.
Her little meat hands.
Meat hands.
Gross. Ew, think about the skin on that bed.
I know, just like leftover. Leftover hand gloves.
The nurse is like, I don't get paid enough to deal with this.
No, thanks. So they quickly go in pursuit of Deb and Kara, and they kind of know where they'll be going. They can either be at, going to this cave. There's also a river that they had kept saying, like, I'll wash you in the river. That's where Desjardins killed the four other victims. So they track them down pretty easily. And when they find them, again, they're like holding hands and are still and quiet and creepy. But Kara is just saying, don't hurt him. He's a nice man. He's going to wash me in the river. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt him. He's a nice man. He's going to wash me in the river. She just like on a loop, like for the whole scene, that's in the background of the scene as they're like, it's so creepy. And they try to restrain Deborah, and she spits venom on them. She goes like,
oh my God.
And it like burns into this one of the, there's police with them. They've so got Officer like, Tweed and another.
Is this a snake?
Yeah. I mean, she's got that scaly skin. She spit in venom.
She shed her
little
skin.
Yes. She was able to easily rip her like neck skin off.
Yeah.
She's a snake.
And
she's
so.
What the heck?
And she loves her baby little garden snake. She was playing with a little garden snake.
We see this. She basically like melts this guy's face, one of the cops' face, by like spitting venom on his face, and runs off. So Sheriff Tweed and Sarah and the camera crew are in pursuit. Sheriff Tweed, Deb goes into an abandoned looking house. Sheriff Tweed is like, I'll go in. I'm the one with the gun. Like, you guys stay out here. Obviously, Sheriff Tweed goes in. We hear gunshot and nobody comes out. Mm-hmm. And so eventually they go in and they just find Sheriff Tweed.
Dead.
Dunzo. No Deb.
Okay.
And Sarah's like, okay, she's in the caves. That must be where she is. And she's got the little girl again, Kara. And so they start running to the caves, and we just hear Kara screaming in the caves. So they know they are in there.
Kind of a lot of kid stuff.
Mm-hmm. I did say, upon further reflection, there might be more than I previously thought. There's definitely, the worst kid thing hasn't happened yet.
Cool.
So much to look forward to.
So much to look forward to. So they're crawling in these caves, and it gets like kind of like The Descent now, where it's very claustrophobic. And guess what? There's lots of snakes all over the cave. Mm-hmm. So Sarah's like crawling through snakes.
But how do you guys feel about snakes?
I'm scared of them.
I don't really mind them.
I used to not mind them. As a kid, I had friends that had pet snakes. And so I have held snakes and been fine with them previously. But now they freak me out. I don't know what happened.
I don't mind them, but a large quantity of them is scary. Seeing them like all move together is really freaky.
I mean, I definitely don't want to like hold a snake or really come across.
I would hold a snake.
Once
we've got two or more, I'm out. I'm out.
I've walked into a garden shed one time and there was a massive snake on the wall. And like that type of thing, I'm like, I don't love that. Yeah. Like in a garden shed, just like hanging out.
Ooh, I hate that.
Ooh, yeah. That's more fun to me than it being on the ground. Because if it's on the wall, I'm like, okay, I see you.
You know what? Once when I was in Puerto Rico in the caves, there were like snakes in the caves, but up. And I remember they were like,
I don't want them to be up.
It was like there were holes in the top of the cave that they were like, that's where the snakes are. And I was like, what?
You're like, get me out.
I don't want anything to like fall on me. Any creature at all.
Yeah.
Would you guys rather have to hold one really big snake or like 10 of the tiny little string beanie snakes?
One big. I'd rather hold one big than one string beanie.
The string beans are creepy, right?
They're creepy.
The string beanies. I feel like there are a lot of snakes
like
where I grew up.
Big one, I know what it's where it is, you know?
Yeah. But I would feel like it could turn on you so much faster.
I know. And snakes eating
you. But the little
really
stringy
scary.
Could like go up your sleeve.
Little string beanie.
Yeah, my sister used to have a little string beanie.
My mom hates snakes. If she's listening, she's going to hate this conversation. She will have turned it off by now.
Sorry, Kate.
Sorry, Kate.
I just have always hated spiders more than snakes. Same. And it makes me feel like I don't mind snakes
you
that
get
much.
One or the other.
I just you really
not dislike both.
You really do get one or the other, and it's for me, it's spiders.
Guess what? I dislike both. I probably dislike spiders more.
I'm not a huge fan of either, but yeah, no spiders. Because my biggest childhood fear was that giant spiders were going to take over the world. And I was going to have to live in a dystopian future where giant spiders ruled my day to day.
It'd be bad.
We got to do arachnophobia one day, apparently.
I know. Those movies really scared me. The second Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Really scared the crap out of me.
Emily and I went to Universal Studios recently, and the Harry Potter ride froze at the spider part.
No.
And we on the whole ride there, we'd been talking about when rides freeze and like, haha, it sucks when a ride freezes when you're on it. And then it was the first ride we went on and it froze.
Wait, what happens during the spider part?
There's just spiders in your face.
Yeah, there's just a lot of big spiders. Big spiders.
I would not have liked that. One little bit.
I didn't love it.
No.
I didn't love it, no. But then, you know, we made it. It was fine.
It was okay. But it did.
Loved it.
It did make the rest of the ride a little scarier.
It really did. I thought it could stop at any point.
And there is one upside down part. So that was the real
danger. That happened to somebody for sure.
Yeah.
Somebody was upside down when
that
it stopped.
That sucks.
It was only stopped for like 30 seconds, but even still.
No, I wouldn't have liked that no matter what. I don't like roller coasters though in general. Anywho.
So bunch of snakes.
Okay, so she's crawling through snakes and we're hearing Kara screaming and it's dark. They have to switch the camera to night vision. Like they lose their flashlight or something. So it's just in night vision. So they can't see what's happening. They're just following the sound of the scream. It's all very stressful. Mm-mm. And then they catch up with them and can see Deb looking like she's anointing Kara with a snake in her hand. Is that just like like doing a little shoulder tap, like a knighting? Yeah.
Yes.
Deborah Logan, pronounce the Kara, my snake princess.
Okay.
And so they're like really, really quietly sneaking up behind Deborah with that sedative shot that they have. Mm-hmm. So they just want to be able to get that in her. Sedate her.
Which they totally will.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like they're just inching closer and closer.
She always finds the camera.
She knows where it is. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing we know about Deb, she finds that camera. And this is no different. She turns around. She lunges at them, attacks them. You don't really see what happens, but there's just all this commotion. She gets away with Kara. And Sarah and Mia get the camera back and find wherever the, I don't know, shot fell out of her hand. So they find the injection again. And then they go after her again. They're like, she went this way. And you just hear this noise, like a mouthy noise.
No.
And you can't see what's happened. There's like a little boulder pillar thing, but you can see Deb's back behind it. Like she's behind this pillar, but you can't see what's happening. And they turn the corner.
No, I don't want to know.
And Sarah's face is just like shocked. And Deb is eating Kara.
Oh my God. Yeah, we knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen, but we didn't want it to.
She looks, we're going to have to post an image of this because it's really crazy. It looks like a half snake person. Like she has done the thing where she has unhinged her jaw.
Oh my God.
So her whole mouth is over Kara's head. Like she has her whole head in her mouth.
Oh my God.
And it's just like.
Sammy, I would say this counts as kid stuff 100%.
Oh, you mean the part where a kid gets eaten?
The part where the kids are a human turns into a snake and then eats a kid. That's like
head first.
That is honestly so fucking scary.
That's kid stuff.
That's kid stuff in my world, in my book.
I think you're right. Look, I made a mistake. But so I don't know. They are able to, in this moment, they lunge at her and she, I think, drops Kara. Kara's still alive because she wasn't like chewing her. She was just like swallowing her whole.
Yeah. Ew, that's what snakes do. And that freaks me out even more.
Yeah.
So Kara's still alive and they're able to inject Deb. And then they have Desjardins' bones and they decide to try to burn him there. And they're like, this could be it because this is, I don't know, the place that he died. And maybe that's where he needs to be burned.
Hey man, anytime you get a chance to burn him. You try to burn him.
Try to burn those bones. And they light him up and they do burn. And it, like, I think, again, explodes. Like, there's a big, you know, supernaturally type reaction when these bones are lit on fire. And they're in caves, which is very scary. Mm-hmm. And they had previously said, like, don't knock anything. Don't touch anything. Like, we could get trapped down here.
Mm-hmm.
And then an explosion happens and they just don't even like blink at it. They're like, okay, great, we did what we came here to do. And they get out and it's fine.
Okay, things took a turn for the better. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, so they get Deb, they get Kara, they get both of them out. And then it goes back into more documentary style of Mia narrating. And or no, we hear a news reporter saying that Deborah Logan is found unfit to stand trial. She did kill Officer Tweed.
Right.
Sheriff Tweed.
Right.
So they declare...
And the other guy, Poison Face.
Poison Face. He might have survived. We didn't see him die, but...
Oh, and the security guard.
Oh, yeah, security guard. So Deborah's committed some crimes.
Yeah, she's a murderer. She's a murderer. Yeah.
And so, but they rule her unfit to stand trial, so I guess she'll just be, like, confined to a medical facility. Something like that. And they follow up with Kara, who is now in full remission. And they like go to her home. And yeah, the whole news story is just like an update on the Deborah Logan crime. And it's like, and Kara made it out okay. And now she's in remission. They film her at her home, like having a birthday celebration. And she's smiling. Her parents are so happy to have her home safe. And the news reporter interviews her like out front of her home and says, like, what are you going to do now that you're home? Like, what's mm-hmm. your plan? And she says, I have a plan, but it's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And the news reporter's like, oh, how cute. All right. Like, that's it for, you know, KTLA 5. Mm-hmm. And as he's like saying goodbye, Kara just turns and looks at the camera and smiles, an evil little smile. That's the end of the movie.
What? What? So, okay. So okay, do scary. We think that Desjardins then was a parasite into Kara?
Yeah, it seems like it. A little transference or something happening.
Like the fuck. Yeah, the burning of the bones didn't really work. It only worked for breaking it from... Deb? Well, we need a sequel.
We need a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't really know why it wouldn't. Why that would happen? Why would that happen?
But you know, who cares? It's spooky. It's spooky.
Yeah.
Ooh, I did not like the snake stuff. I really didn't see the snake stuff coming.
Yikes.
Ooh, I really didn't like that.
What a freaky little thing. Definitely the like scariest, nastiest parts were all the like body stuff.
Yeah. Hand part is tough.
And taking a kid from the cancer ward, I mean, that's just like kicking below the belt, you know?
Yeah.
It's like not okay.
It's not okay.
No.
It's at least take a healthy kid.
At least take a healthy kid.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated it.
Wow.
So thank you, listeners, for choosing it.
Yeah, thank you.
I love those Instagram polls. I feel like they're fun.
They're great.
I know. You never know what people are gonna want.
Yeah, so follow us on Instagram if you want to vote in things occasionally.
Mm-hmm. voting.
I love an Instagram poll, no matter what it is. I vote in them all the time.
Yeah, you always got to vote.
If I see one, I got to do it.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Got to press that button, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's addictive to know what the percentages are.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, happy freaking 2022. Unless a big Y2K has happened by the time this comes out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to be looking up. We're going to be playing piano. Mm-hmm. We're going to be taking care of our bodies. We're going to be moisturizing.
We're mostly moisturizing.
We're going to really, really moisturize.
So that our hands don't fall off like hand gloves.
So that our hands don't fall off like hand gloves, so we won't be able to peel our necks off. These are important things that are going to happen in 2022.
Oh my god. Okay, well, what was the voice? What was, why did we do that? No, what did we do?
That's the sound that her look made.
The sound of her look is
that is the sound of that.
It actually is the sound.
It really is. So
Fremont was here. Thank you, Scary, very much.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you really want to make our day, you can rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. You can also follow us on social media at TSDW Podcast. We are on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want even more content, you can become a patron at patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. We will be back next week with a regular episode. We love you a lot. Bye.